I'm just so blessed to be here at this service. There is something so powerful about young people. This is their baccalaureate Sunday that is attached to a healthy and a growing church. There's something so powerful about that. And Pastor Carter, our general overseer, had once saw that this church, if it would embrace students, pray for students, believe in students, and just by your friendship and your love, mentoring them and pouring into them, that your reach here at the TSC Summit campus would go worldwide, as Pastor Pavel has already said. But I just want to say today, Pastor Pavel and Haley, Pastor Nick and Christina, and every elder of this church, thank you so much for seeing them. Thank you so much for being a healthy church. Thank you for what you do, because you are growing in the Spirit, you're growing in the Lord. And these students need to see, for 100,000 reasons, a healthy church and a growing church. And you give them hope. You give them stability. So thank you for everything. I know you've been thanked by all of us. You deserve it. Thank you for this vision. When Pastor Carter's general overseer saw the mission of this church is the school. I just want to say that as president of the school, I am also a congregant of this church and seek to serve this church. This leadership here at the church, the pastors, as you know, they work full-time for the school. They work full-time for this church. This is an amazing body that gives and gives. And so I say that you truly lead by example and the Spirit. You truly lead in a way that honors Christ, and His presence is in this house. So students, I thank you that you get to see a church and a school as heart and lungs beating for this generation, for you. We work together for you. We believe in you. We fight the battles for you. And there's no higher calling. It is, and I think it was mentioned by Sarah, it is a little bit bittersweet today, because this is your last Sunday of officially being at this church. It's your last week. You face exams this week. You face packing up this week. And something very special about you, I sense that even the saying goodbyes are tender and very sweet. You are outstanding in class in every way. So we celebrate you today. We are glad to celebrate you today. We are proud of you, because you have a life of impact awaiting you. You do. You have a life of impact awaiting you, each and every one of you. And so I just want to get right to it, if I can. The Lord spoke to me that three things would happen to the students that attend this school. And today I'm going to speak to the students, and then at the end, I do believe God is widening the net to speak to every one of us here. But the Lord said that the students here would know spiritual freedom, number one. Number two, they would learn to be useful and serve a church. And number three, that God would raise up an army. So I want to speak to you today about there is an army rising up. Hallelujah. What else can we speak? So I'd just like you to turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to read the first 14 verses. I read from King James, but I know that your translation will say it exactly as so well. Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. This prophet had the hand of the Lord come on him and set him in a valley of very dry bones, very many, very dry, very exposed. And what were these bones doing there? They were not piled up, as you would think. They weren't piled up in a heap. It looked like they fell down where they stood. It was not a battleground that they were slain in battle, because they were not an army slain by another army, because the military retrieves their dead and the military bury their honored dead. They go back even for those bodies. No, these bones were subject to degradation. They were subject to being stripped clean of flesh, probably by vultures and animals, subject to every kind of weather and bleached till they were very dry. Not an army that defeated an army here. No, the bones were disjointed. And as those bones were just disjointed and laid unconnected, an enemy army would not take the time to sever all the bones in a human body, to lay them helter-skelter on a valley floor. They would spend the time to loot, but not disjoint. So how did they die? I believe they died before false altars. I believe they died worshiping other gods. I believe that they died participating in dark practices, in idolatrous practices, and it was all covered with a religious veneer. You see, Israel's history, in one part of their history, is they were a divided nation. There was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And when the northern kingdom, they were afraid that the people would travel south, worship at a true altar in Jerusalem, and maybe they would lose people. Maybe they would lose influence, their hold over the northern kingdom, because it was a succession of evil kings that ruled in the north. So they said, no, you can set up altars halfway to Jerusalem. You don't have to go all the way to worship. You don't have to go all the way to serve. You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem to sacrifice. I'll tell you what, just set up an altar on every high hill. Set up an altar under every green tree and worship the way that you want to. Sacrifice as it suits you. And you don't have to go all the way. And the scripture says they took the lowest from among them and made them priests and spiritual elders. So this spiritual understanding over the people of God led to mixture, which led to delusion, which led to people in idolatrous system of flesh works without the Spirit of God. But in the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37, this suggests a giant mob around their idols worshiping when death visited them. We see this in modern life. We have all over the world as humanity grouped around worship of our own choosing, of our own making, spirituality of money, music, sex, power, violence, even war. There is a gathering to worship and sacrifice of our own understanding in our own choosing. But these bones, these people long dead in the darkness, a disgraced people who judgment has come upon, into this picture comes a prophet who does know the heart of God, who sat in the middle of a valley full of dry bones, scattered and very dry, asks a question. God himself asked the prophet a question. He said, can these bones live? Now, not one bone would have dared to have answered that question. The prophet himself was awed by the question. He was careful with this question because he knew where he was standing and why these bones were before him. And he said in verse 3, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. This is, I believe, in his awe. I do believe that's not a question of I doubt you, God. I do believe it is the prophet with the Spirit of God and the mind of God fully knowing this question. And what he said was, Lord, this matter is solely and entirely in your hands. I have no say here. All I know is if you choose to be merciful to these people, these bones will live. You are the offended party. So if you're going to show mercy, then there will be mercy. That is your doing. But if there is no detriment to your love and grace operating here, then with an understanding that the prophet has, God commanded him to prophesy. And when we have the heart of God and the mind of God, this is where our true giftings can operate. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes on him and prophesying, which means speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God was saying, I trust you. You can speak my heart. You can speak my vision. You can speak my will. And verse 4 and 5 says, and again, he said to me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Beloved, this is a prophecy for physical Israel. It is also a type of how God moves in revival in this day. It is a type of a window into the heart of God. And so the first thing he says, the Lord says to the prophet, prophesy to these bones that are so dead and says, hear. Imagine he's speaking to bones with no ears. These bones have no ears, but hear. So number one, a spiritual army is about to be brought into existence and God says to them, hear, them that have no ears. So an army is raised up by supernatural hearing. God gives the ability to hear his voice when it seems impossible to hear. The first thing of a spiritual army is they grow spiritual ears and you shall hear. When you have no physical ears, I will still speak to your spiritual ears. And this is what's happening today. I want to say that there's a group of people before you that have grown spiritual ears and have learned to hear the voice of God for themselves. That's what's revolutionary here. It's not that we assist in the chapel times and in the classroom times, but God himself begins to speak to them and they are changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God says, hear. Then he says, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. An army is raised by hearing supernaturally, and an army is raised because the Spirit of God goes into the dead, impossible places of our life because God is choosing to be merciful to this group of people. And you will live. You will live eternally. You will live with my purpose. You will live with my mercy. You will live with my love. You will live with my power. You shall live. This is the heart of the Lord for this generation. This is the heart of the Lord for what is happening now. God has breathing on people that we, all of us, can say, I know what it is to be a bone in a very dry valley. And except the mercy of God visited me, I would not be where I am supposed to be. It is mercy. So I want to say to you that a spiritual army is raised by hearing, by the Holy Spirit, and by the decision of God to be merciful to us. An army is raised by the mercy of God, and the army of God is sustained by the mercy of God. And we're going to see that. And because it is that combination, we are an exceeding great army. A disgraced dead mob becomes an army by the mercy of God. And he, you know, I just love that. You know, mercy raises an army. I mean, you and I would think a lot of ways, how do we train an army and how do we raise up? Would we think the foundation of it, mercy? Would we think that dry bones need mercy, need the Spirit, need to hear, but this is how God does it. The interesting thing to me is that didn't say the word of the Lord came on this group of dead bones, and when suddenly bone came to bone and a shaking together. You know, I just want to say, do you know God always shakes things together, never apart? God always shakes things together. And that shaking that came together, and finally the sinew, the bone, and the Spirit of God comes on them. And what was raised, we would think our first thought is a man would be raised, a woman be raised. No, an army is raised. An army who is given a sword in his hand, a sword of the Spirit. An army that is given a shield, the shield of faith. An army that is given a breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness, which is right standing with God. An army that is given a helmet. I love the picture of a helmet. Not only is it the helmet of our salvation, but I love that those Roman helmets cover our ears so that we are become deaf to the threats and the intimidation of the enemy when we remember how great is our salvation. We are given a helmet. We are given a commission. We are given a commission to fight because the battle belongs to the Lord. So we fight the good fight, and mercy has raised us. And we fight so others will receive mercy. And this mercy of God will keep us fighting together. That's so important that we learn to fight together. Mercy of God, when we know who we are apart from God, when we actually know what we look like, when we're out of the Spirit of God, when we go, God, have mercy on me right now. You see where I am and you know who I am. I'm just gonna ask the mercy of God to come upon me because you will not disqualify me. Because you know human flesh needs mercy by morning, by morning, by morning. We need a mercy. And he says it's yours. And so when we learn, God, you've called me to be part of an army, that God give us the grace not to fight each other. So often in the army, we have been tempted to compare, compete. And that is the oldest tactic in the book. The enemy has been so successful dividing us. I pray you come under a commission that you're going to fight the good fight together. You know, the problem is an army a lot of times will fight itself when they don't fight the enemy. They will turn on themselves for lack of understanding that principle. And then as long as that you and I understand there is plenty enough enemy to fight, there is plenty enough spiritual battles to be won and salvations to be won. We have enough to fight. We don't need to fight each other, and we will not be easily divided. I thank God that you are learning to fight that kind of fight and that you will be reminded to return to the source of your mercy and the Holy Spirit and keep on hearing so that you may keep on fighting. You know, an army doesn't fight every day. An army fights strategic battles, but then they return back to the battlefield, back home. We learn to rest on the battlefield. But, you know, sometimes we kind of lose sight that we've been commissioned into that army. And yet God has a way to make known to us how truly we do belong to a spiritual army, even though it doesn't feel like we're fighting. This week earlier, Pastor Carter was in getting his hair clipped and clipped. Yeah, sorry, that's a sheep to cut. Thank you. We did clip sheep for a living, but as you did, he was having his hair cut And all of a sudden, the stylist stopped and said, my son is going to commit suicide this weekend. And what a thing to say in the middle of a haircut. And Pastor Carter said, well, and she said that she was leaving and that he was going to, told her, I'm going to commit suicide. And Pastor Carter said, you know, I'm available. Like, I'm a minister. I would go, I would talk to him. And she, you know, and kind of told his story. And she sort of goes, you're too busy. And it's like, too busy? What can be more important? You know something? Something in her knew there was something safe and strong in him. Knew there was something safe and strong in speaking this. And he said, all right, it's up to you, but if you want me to, I will go. Well, it turned out the very next day, that was the stylist I had, or a couple of days later. I wasn't supposed to, but I ended up having her. And I went, God, this was yesterday. And I went, God, if you want me to say something to her in this noisy, busy salon where there is no privacy and where everybody can hear everything you're talking about, then open the door. And all of a sudden she said to me, your husband came this week for a haircut. And I knew she was giving me an open door. And I was able to just come in and say, do you want to know? After I listened to her a little bit and I said some things, I said, I just want you to know that I had dinner at my house last night. It was a table full of friends there. All my friends from Ireland and the UK, Scotland, they were there. And we just shared this story. And it was like, we have to pray for this lady. And my dear friend Ruth, you know, we had to, by the end of the dinner, we had to pray for this lady. You see, there is an army rising up. We don't need to know these people, but we have the heart of God and we're moved. And God, there does not need to be another senseless death while you live. Oh God, stir us. And so a people that don't even know her, and I have not even met her yet, we go to prayer. And one of the things we prayed for is, God, give this mother wisdom, give her courage, give her strength, give her your mind, because you want to know something? It's at the point only prayer can help. No, but the son is not listening. And I was able to sit in that chair and say, there is a group of people praying for you and believing that that will not happen this weekend and that the grace of God will come upon you. And as she shared a bit of her story, and then she had to stop because we were in a public place, in her workplace, and it just couldn't go any farther. But when I left, she told me, thank you very much. And I knew what she was talking about. And I said, we will stay in touch. And she knew what I was talking about. There is an army rising up and a lot, yes. And we're going to be bold. We're going to be bold. I just have to tell you one more story. We went to Yale last week up in New Haven, Connecticut, and the school went there, and we joined up with other students from 6 or 7 Ivy League universities, and it was a time where this amazing music was going on by our very own Isaac and his worship team, and that anointing was drawing people from all over that campus, and students began to pray. This is a student-led initiative, and students began to pray and believe God for their classmates and for the schools that they go to. An amazing, powerful prayer that was going on. And it was just, to me, a deposit of God is opening our eyes to see I am moving in this generation where they tried to keep us out. Those iron bars of education cannot keep out the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He is creating a hunger for himself through the desperation and the darkness that is around them. And they may be dry bones on those campus, but God has a plan, and it's called his mercy. It's called his Spirit. It's called his talking to them, of showing up in their darkness. And he is going to resurrect an exceeding great army by his Spirit today. We are going to live to see it. And I just want to tell you something. You know where the Spirit of God seemed to come on these dry bones, and all of a sudden they were living and they were doing and they were fighting. And I got on that campus, and this never happened to me before. I felt like an anointed spiritual sniper. I did. I did. I felt like God opened my eyes and gave me a deadly accuracy of pinpointing the enemy's lies and strongholds in the hearts and minds of people around me. And I was going, this is not me. And it was like, I had prayed, God, I wish I was bolder. I wish I was an evangelist. I seem to be a church mouse. I just live in the confines of a church, but there's a great and a hungry and a needy world out there. I throw myself in with their prayers when they would pray, God, make us bold. I was, yes, God made me bold. So I'm walking this campus and Fiona and I, you know, I was watching her and she was my guide and she was opening her mouth and I was opening my mouth. And the next thing I know, people are getting saved. And then I was just so hungry. Yes. Praise God. And I was just so hungry to start talking to people. And people were getting saved. People were listening. I would go up to people and go, do you want to know what that music's about? That's young people who are praying and want to worship. Do you want to join them? Because you'd be so welcome. And they go, they're praying and they're worshiping. And they're like, so many joined the crowd. It was like a great net. And the heart of God was being revealed. And he was drawing people, hungry people, lost people to himself. At the end, you know, almost everyone I talked to, would you like to give your heart? Yes, I'd like to get saved. It was amazing. At the end of the day, I was at the book table. I'm telling you, I've never seen this. People were waiting to talk to me. People were waiting to talk. Not I was going out to look for them. They were waiting, standing there to talk. People from Brazil, people from, I don't know, with accents, not even sure where. Local people, it was amazing. Amazing. I got into the fight by the mercy of God, by praying, by God answering prayer, by listening. This is, I'm telling you, I know my position now. There is an army rising up. It is you and I. Hallelujah. I love the part Ezekiel makes it so clear. It doesn't matter what our past is. It doesn't matter what our past failures is. Lord, if you choose to be merciful, I'm going to receive that mercy, be found back in my place, put on my armor and move out, because that's an enemy appointed for defeat. And guess what? He loses when we open our mouth. I can fight. Hallelujah. Beloved class of 2024, this legacy leaving class, you will be missed, but you are so needed out there. And you have been equipped, and God will not fail you. I want to say something prophetic to you today. I believe that God is going to make you a raiding party into the enemy's camp. Yes. Yes. I believe that especially you're going to be used in the lives of previous precious alumni. Those taken captive will be liberated by the Spirit in you. You will be inspired to pray, to act, for your words. God is going to hear you because you've been so grounded in mercy in the Spirit of God and you've grown ears. What can stop you? You are a commissioned army equipped by the Spirit of God. David, for so long, you know, when he was a young boy, he stood to fight alone, his Goliath and his giant. Because too long, Goliath had taunted the enemies of the living God. An army behind that young David was frozen in fear and unbelief, and they had lost their fight. That's what's happened. Some of your friends, some of your family, they have lost the fight. And yet David, he goes in, and when he wins that battle against Goliath, it's like, we know just spiritually the picture. It's like a wand went over them, but it was the Spirit of God that went over that army. And the army that wouldn't fight, overpowered by one giant, jumped up when they saw David running towards his giant by the power of and the presence of God. And all of a sudden, that whole army behind him was energized. That whole army remembered they could fight. That whole army was electrified by hope. And they got up and they got back on their feet and they got back into the fight. They ran down the hill towards that Philistine army and won. Because one more time, God was putting an army on its feet in a moment. in a moment and won this victory. I believe that's what you are with the spirit of David upon you, is that you're gonna unfreeze an army behind you. They are going to all of a sudden see the spirit of God on you, and he makes you bold. He makes you brave. None of us are naturally that. At some point, there is a line we do not cross in the flesh, but in the spirit, God makes us fighters. And I'm telling you, class, one more time, the mercy of God will mobilize you for others. The Spirit of God will motivate you and keep you there. The mercy and Spirit of God will mold you into captains, into specialists, into snipers, into infantry, into generals. This is who you are. Hallelujah. An exceeding great army that will hear commands from above, speaking to spiritual ears that you are given. Let me close by this. Let me widen this to everyone in this congregation. So many of you might think, this is a great service. I love seeing young people. I love seeing them being commissioned and loving God and their testimony and their singing. But this battle, what you're talking about, is for the young. This battle is not for the young. This battle is for the called. Hear your calling. Hear your calling. You have a calling. You need to hear it. And when you can hear it, you will hear one of the greatest battles of our time raging around us. And the biggest battle of our generation right now, no matter what age you are, is that battle of hopelessness and the crisis of hope that our nation and every other nation is in. We have young people shut up in bedrooms, in houses. We have people online and going down. We have people that are unnaturally no longer connected to people. And the enemy's mantra, his nuclear arsenal, is there is no hope. That is what he is saying all the time to everybody, even to the army of God. And I just want to read verses 10 and 11 to you. This is so important. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. But he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we are cut off from our parts. What? God puts a supernatural fighting army on its feet, and the first thing they say is, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, and we're cut off from our parts. What kind of language is that? How more supernatural can God get at that moment? I mean, you were put sinews, muscle, skin, then the Spirit of God. You have feet, you're standing up. And the first thing out of our mouth is our hope. Our bones are dried. No, they're not. They were just supernaturally clothed. Our hope is gone. Even the dry bones seem to somehow not have the breakthrough yet, and we're cut off. How can that be? And beloved, when I read that, I go, what did God say to that? When he put a supernatural army on its feet filled with his spirit, and they go back to the old thinking and the old ways of approaching the battle, what does God say to that? I'm telling you, he does what he did the first time. He chose to be merciful. He doesn't answer any other way when he's dealing with his army, but he reminds them who he is. And here's what he says to them. Oh, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. God is not dealing with the surface bones anymore. The bones are all on the surface, but now God is saying, I'm going to show you why you were dry bones on the ground. I'm going to go deeper by my spirit. I'm going to go to the graves. I'm going to go what has caused things to be buried in you, what has caused things to be hidden in you, things that are dead in you, where you truly believe there is no hope. My mercy extends to the graves, not just the bones. You see, We start out, but we are easily knocked down. But God says, no, you underestimate my mercy again. Will you turn to me and open this word? Because I'm not just going to touch your bones. That's which is evident. But I'm going to go into your graves and I'm going to lift you up out of your graves. And it's going to be my mercy that lifts you out of the grave. And it's going to be my mercy that will keep you in the fight. Praise God. My mercy extends to graves and my mercy will lift you up. I'm telling you, an army is rising up and staying up by the mercy of God and the Spirit of God. There will never be a time he will not visit us with his mercy, and his mercy is his glory. His mercy is his glory. He puts his glory upon us and says, my mercy is your victory. My mercy for an army. Hallelujah. My mercy for an army. I wouldn't think that would be a fuel source for an army, but that's what the Spirit of God says. So, oh my people, I am choosing one more time to act towards you the way I always have. And I will put one more time, I'll tell you, I shall put my Spirit in you and you shall live. God says we're gonna live, we'll live. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. And that is true. And so, with this army rising up, beloved, we're all needed. We all dip down into that well. We remember who we are without the Spirit of God, but then we dip again. And he says, I'm gonna raise up your bones. I'm gonna visit your graves. I'm gonna go to deep places. Please trust me because I love you so much. Don't give up because I haven't given up on you. Don't turn away because I am going to run after you and turn you around and put courage in you because you are my chosen army for this end time. So I want to thank God for that this morning. He sends his mercy. He sends his Spirit. He grows our ears. And we become unstoppable. We will not fight each other. There's enough enemy to fight. And we're winning one person at a time battle. That's how God fights anyway. One person at a time, because we're so precious. Even in a crowd, one person at a time. And so now as we just close this service, beloved class, you truly are an army rising up. And you're going to stay on the field. That's God's will and choice for you. And you will be kept there. We will hear of your exploits. But I want you to know something. There's an army behind you. There's an army behind you. And wherever you go, you make sure you stay part of the army. And I'm telling you, you'll unfreeze some people behind you. And you know what? Someday you're gonna need their testimony. Have you been the beneficiary of their prayers? You need them and we need you. And I thank God I'm going to battle with some of the finest people by the Spirit I know in this world are actually in this sanctuary today. Praise God. I know there's going to be a prayer. I know I didn't know if there was an altar call, but I just wanted, thank you. I just wanted, here's the altar call. I want to call an army forward. If you feel God's call and equipping and putting his Spirit on you, growing your ears, and you know you walk in the power of the mercy of God, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And if it means something to you, we're going to sing one song. We're going to continue. But I just know that the Spirit of God is rousing us and rising us for this occasion. And I just want to say, if you see yourself as part of this army, would you just come forward? Because we're going to declare, God, there is an exceeding great army you are putting on its feet for this time. And by your mercy, I will stay part of that army. Thank you how you're going to use me. Thank you of the victories of the days ahead. Thank you how the enemy's going to be surprised when I don't quit. Thank you you're going to open my eyes to see people in shops and everywhere that I go that I'm to, Lord, be led of your Spirit. I'm going to open my mouth and Jesus, you're going to save people. Jesus, you're going to deliver people through my army stance. Oh God, Lord, I just thank you. Come forward. Can you just come forward a little farther because there's many people responding here. There is an army, and I thank God. Beloved, this is real and this is true. God, by His Spirit, has an answer, and we are it. And we will not tremble with that call and commission, because we know He goes with us. He goes with us. So, Lord, here I am. What comes after that? Use me. Thank you, oh God. Now, Lord, I pray that people before me and in this place, would you grant us the mercy to grow spiritual ears? Would you give us the ability to hear your voice as never before? And God, with the hearing, oh God, give us the courage you give to take the next step after hearing, that we will hear you with an intent to obey. We will hear you with an intent to obey you. Now, God, I also pray, Lord Jesus, that you would send your Spirit and breathe on us, your army. Breathe on us, oh God. And then, Lord, forever let us rejoice in the mercy of God, that when we tremble, when we get frozen, when we are in unbelief, we will stop and remember, I know how you deal with my failures. You love me and you give me your mercy. You say I am covered, my sin is forgiven, that you live in me, and I thank you. You put me back on my feet, oh God, opening my mouth and living in my generation with the power of God and the love and mercy of God on my life. So I thank you for everyone here that's responding. Thank you, you hear us, you see us. Thank you, we go together as church and school. To God be the glory, hallelujah. Let's sing this together, hallelujah, hallelujah.